Happy Friday, Nashville, Tennessee. Middle of May, and it's finally hot outside. Corey Curtis sitting in for Jared Stillman on Jared of the GM. Floyd Reese in the house. Floyd, how long do we have till the NFL season gets here?
I'm not sure. Not that long, though. I mean, we're closing right in on it.
Well, the Titans return for OTAs on Tuesday. I call it the merger. Other call it phase three, but we'll have rookies and vets together, offense and defense going head-to-head. But we've got something else going on in May, and that is the conference finals in the NBA. Tonight is Toronto and Milwaukee, is it not? It is. Toronto-Milwaukee, which, you know, I love this matchup of Giannis Antetokounmpo and taking on Kawhi Leonard. I think, you know, they're both fun teams to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I like being able to take the city name and throw it out and just know that these two teams. I mean, look, we got Golden State, Toronto, Milwaukee, and Portland.
Wow.
We don't have Chicago. We don't have New York. Yeah. We don't have L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of those would be considered small market.
Oh, yeah. Brand new teams.
And they're the last four standing, and they're all kind of fun to watch. Now, Golden State has played these last two games without Kevin Durant and still found a way to win. They have not been dominant, and they have been at home, but they have still found a way to win. Whether Durant comes back or not, it's a 2-0 hole. Is this thing over?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I think Golden State, I mean, they've proven to me that this is the Golden State without Durant that won, and you know, a couple of championships before he got there.
They know how to win.
They understand.
That defensive play Iguodala made.
Oh, yeah. And maybe the only real play made in the game.
I think it was 5 points.
Absolute most important play.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think they're just and to be honest with you, I mean, Jared has said this a couple times. They're more fun to watch without Durant.
Oh, they move the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, because you remember before they got Durant, that ball swung around and then somebody got open and knocked it down. And, you know, you can debate all you want whether they're better or not with Kevin Durant. I don't care. What you said is they're more fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I think everybody would agree that watching moving basketball is more poetic, more fluid, more fun than watching stagnant, put it on the floor, back a guy down, take the shot.
And I think, you know, I'm not sure you mentioned poetic. I'm not sure there's a more poetic move in sport than watching Curry shoot a three.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
I mean, it's like a ballet. It is unbelievable.
Well, how fast is Klay Thompson's trigger?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
same way.
I mean, he doesn't need any space because that thing is in and out of his hand in a heartbeat.
Well, when you watch those guys putting those threes up like that, I mean, it is sheer beauty. I mean, it's something special.
So now you're saying that this series is over. Does it matter who comes out of the East, or do you like the Warriors the rest of the way?
I worry a little bit, and this is where I think Durant is going to come in. I mean, he's going to have to, with these next couple of big guys, I mean, the Greek, and, you know, we've got some players that are different.
That Portland doesn't have.
Yeah, that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
And so I think that they will need him back for that. Now, does that mean they can't win? No, I think they win. But, I mean, they may sweep this series, and it won't be a sweep next time around.
Portland is a better matchup for them than Denver would have been with Jokic and Millsap and some of the big bodies that they've got. Because those guys would have punished them.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're trying to roll out Bogut and Damian Jones and, you know, Looney. I mean, they don't have it,
and they're not. You know, they've all got a role, and they all come in and do a little something, and keeps it exciting and all that kind of stuff. But you're not going to win a championship with those guys now. Not going to happen.
What did Steph score 37 last night?
And I think Thompson had, what did he have, 17 or 19 or something like that?
Yeah, but Looney had 14, which is pretty cool. You know, I watched Steph for the first time. I was covering an NCAA tournament, I think, up in Buffalo, and he was on Davidson.
Yeah.
He was a freshman at Davidson. I mean, looked like just some kid they pulled from the YMCA. Couldn't have been about 160 pounds. And they were playing, I think it was Maryland in round one. And I must say, I didn't know much about him. And I got done covering my game, and I started watching this, and I was like, oh, my God.
Who is this guy?
I mean, he is just torching them. It's just three after three after three, and you started saying he's going to play in the league one day. And you know, people think that Steph was a star immediately. He wasn't.
No.
I mean, it took a few years. It took the right coach. It took the right pieces. And, you know, I think Steve Kerr does deserve a lot of credit for getting the most out of these players.
And using them correctly. Yeah.
And I think Steve Kerr's, you know, are they better with or without Durant? I don't know. Durant's a top player of all time. But I think Steve Kerr is a better match without Durant.
Oh.
Because of what we say, yeah. Of how the ball moves.
Yeah.
And creates open
shots.
Well,
his style.
I mean, Durant doesn't have to have an open shot. He's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, I mean, he's and we're playing down Durant. And truth is, Durant may be the best player in the league.
That's what I'm saying. But that doesn't mean you create the best team.
No, exactly right.
Because you know we're talking about moving the ball and got everybody being included. When everybody's included, it's different. But everybody likes winning. Bottom line, and you know whether Durant plays or not. We both think this team's going to win the championship.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt there.
So it'd be very interesting to see what Durant does. Because I don't know what's important to Kevin Durant.
I don't either. And you wonder, I mean, the thing, I'm convinced, now this is just me, I'm convinced that Curry and Thompson and those guys are in it to win it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
Golden State Warriors, and they want to give Golden State as many titles as they can.
And I think Durant talks about wanting to do that. Now, you know,
he's clearly not part of the group.
Yeah, he's a little bit different than the rest of those guys, and I'm not sure that, you know, he may be more worried about, like we say, his brand and some of those kinds of things.
I think he really wants to be known as the best. I think that's important to him. And I think he's going to leave there because I think as long as Steph is there, he's going to have a heart, and people view him as having to go there to win a championship. If he wants to be the best, he's going to have to go do it somewhere else.
Well, I keep thinking this. I keep thinking that if they win the championship without Durant,
then the talk will be, hey, they didn't need you.
Where is he?
Yeah.
So I keep thinking, if I'm Durant, I'm thinking, man, I got to get in there and play some. Yeah. You know, because I think they're going to the championship, and I don't want them winning it without me.
And saying that they didn't need me.
That
could get ugly.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's already salty.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I see him, and I see him in a New York Knicks jersey.
And I think that's his next move, probably. Yeah. I mean, I think that's where he wants to end up, which is great. You know, that's all well and good.
Because that organization's fantastic. it's just top of the world with
really
James Dolan running the show. It's amazing. He's having his former players thrown out. They win so many games. When was the last time the Knicks went to the playoffs?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? I love talking to you because you were a player, but you were a manager, and you were a manager at the highest level, and you understand ownership. And I try to talk to fans all the time about the importance of ownership and the importance of owners to just own.
Oh, yeah.
And they just, you know, there's a reason that the Cowboys have not won the Super Bowl really since Jerry Jones took over.
And the thing that always used to amaze me with these guys is these guys are all billionaires. Multi-billionaires. So, you know, some way, somehow, they're smart enough to make a whole bunch of money.
Yep.
And when it comes to a billion-dollar business of theirs, you would think that they would get the absolute best they could find, pay him a bunch of money, and get out of his way and let him go.
The good ones do.
The good ones do. But
Robert
then
Kraft.
All of a sudden, you get guys like this that... No, they want to be, you know, the head coach, want to be the GM, want to be the owner, want to be the whole deal.
I think it's Floyd because these guys, owning a team for them is like a toy.
Yeah, hobby.
It's like, yeah. And so, well, I'm going to do this. I'm a genius. I completely, when you look at him and you look at Daniel Snyder, oh my God, Daniel Snyder. I mean, if you are a Washington Redskins fan, just give up. Until Snyder leaves, just go find a new team. Now, I will say this. I like the way they handled the draft, and I didn't think that was possible.
Best.
They'll screw it up.
Yeah.
Because they will.
Well, it was funny. I remember one of my first conversations as a young GM with Bud, and I think it was after our first year, second year, and I had all these great ideas. You know, this is what we're... So I put together this whole plan, and I took it in there to him and, you know, gave him a copy, and I said, you know what? This is what we need to do, and I think we need to do this, and I think we can do this, and on and on and on. And he listened for a few minutes, and he used to wear those glasses. He finally reached up, and he kind of pulled the glasses down to the edge of his nose and looked over the top, and he goes, you do know who owns this team. I said, yes, I do. End of conversation.
Which reminds me of the Pac-Man Jones draft when I was told you walked... I mean, not the Pac-Man Jones, the Vince Young draft, when you walked in the room and said, we're drafting Vince Young. And everybody in the room said, but. And you just said, we're drafting Vince Young. And it was over.
That was it.
Because the owner owns the team. And you're absolutely right. And every time an owner gets involved, he sets his team back 5 years. Every freaking time.
And it's always for an ego reason. That's the part that got me. You know, if they really, really thought, they said, okay, this is the absolute best we can do, and I'm convinced of that, and he's... But it's not that. You were doing that to get mad, to get back at somebody in Houston. You know, like that mattered
spite.
To me.
Spite is always a strong motivation to win. Jeez. Spite. All right, let's get Kenny the mailman. He's got some comments about the league owners. Kenny, deliver something.
Oh, thank you very much. Floyd, I'm glad you brought this subject up. Let's just say you're offered the perfect salary. Your wife doesn't mind moving at all. There's no problem there at all. Is there still four or five owners in the league that you would not work for?
Not work for?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there are owners in the league that are still scary. And still, I don't, you know, now if you, you know, they can always pay you enough money or whatever to entice you. But if you have your choice.
Daniel Snyder.
Yeah, there we go, is one. And then there are other owners in the league that you would work for, you know, a third the money.
Yeah.
Just simply because you know how
Crafts.
You know how well it's going to be run. You know how it's going to be operated. You're going to be proud and honored to work there. And so, fine. You know, whatever you're going to pay me. Just let me work here.
All right, you are listening to Jared and the GM live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Corey Curtis sitting in for Jared Stillman today. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Friday afternoon, almost quitting time. Although people don't work till 5 anymore, do they? They just
not work. On Friday.
They,
no,
they work till 2. They work till 3. They work till 7. There's no more 9 to 5. Just doesn't happen. Corey Curtis, I've never worked 9 to 5. My goodness, never. Corey Curtis sitting in for Jared Stillman on this Friday with Floyd Reese. Jared of the GM, as always, on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We have been talking about the NBA and the NFL largely today. We're going to merge those topics here. If you'd like to chime in, give us a call at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, because what we're going to talk about is the draft. Grant Williams from Tennessee has announced he is staying in the draft. Mm-hmm. By the way, we both agree with that decision, that's a good move. Mm-hmm. The NBA draft lottery went over very well on TV the other night. The NBA draft lottery got rave reviews from people. As soon as the Lakers and Knicks were in the Final Four, my gosh, the conspiracy talk was everywhere on Twitter. And then they were 3-4, and it kind of died down. But the Grizzlies are going to pick second, which is very exciting for us. So we've got the Grizzlies pick at second, and we've got like five local guys who are all going to go. That's exciting. The NBA instituted a draft lottery, and they did it for a very important reason. Because teams tanked.
Right.
When teams saw that they didn't have what it took to win the championship, they gutted their rosters and they lost as many games as they could. They said, fans, forget you. We've got your money and we don't care. We're going to stink. We're going to be like in the movie Major League. We're going to be as bad as we possibly can. Maybe not to move to Miami, but to get up as high in the draft as we can. And ultimately, they would say that would be beneficial to the fans, not the ones that already paid thousands of dollars for tickets, but the ones that will then buy tickets in the future. So the NBA made the drastic move to go to a draft lottery to not reward teams quite as much for tanking. Now, at first, it was so heavily skewed in the bad team's favor that they ended up winning the lottery anyway. But those numbers have all changed, and the lottery is kind of a Wild West show now, which makes it more entertaining and makes tanking not as much of a guarantee. So, we here in Nashville saw what a massive success the NFL draft was here. Everybody loves the NFL draft, and I say because we all know the teams, we all know the players. It's a magical combination that comes together. But some people want that excitement of the NBA draft lottery injected into the NFL with a draft lottery. Does the NFL need a draft lottery, Floyd?
Well, I'm sure it would be exciting, but we have to keep in mind that what the, you know, the in basketball, what do they have? Two picks?
And well, two rounds.
Yeah, two rounds.
One round guaranteed.
And one of those guys probably won't make it. So, I mean, you're adding a guy a year. In the NFL, you're adding a whole series of guys. I mean, you're adding it to 20, 30.
Yeah, I mean, you have at least 25% roster turnover a year,
yeah,
don't you?
All the time.
Yeah.
So it's different. And the other thing is the draft is set up in the NFL so that, in theory, the worst team is going to get the best of that 25% in this draft class. And the best team is going to get the worst. And consequently, you know, everybody has a chance to win on a yearly basis. And I think if you look, generally speaking, at the draft, I mean, at playoffs in the NFL, you know, you'll see that it turns over about 50% every year. You know, mm-hmm. There'll be somebody new in there. So it gives every team a chance. And I think from a football standpoint and the way they do it now, I don't know that, you know, if you had, again, a 6-10 team, a pretty good team that had made the playoffs, lost in the first round, for some reason get the first pick, and they end up getting whoever the best player in a country is, I mean, that's not, you're kind of defeating the purpose. You know, that team that just won two games is now going to win one game. So, you know, you eventually take that city and you eliminate them from all, you know, aspects of play, you know, trying to have a successful season and get to the playoffs.
Well, and as I talked about, tanking was a huge part of this equation. Tanking is not an issue in the NFL.
Right.
I mean, sometimes we kind of wonder a little bit, but there are so many players, so many coaches whose livelihoods are at stake. Getting teams to not try to win or putting them – look, players know when you're trying not to win.
Sure.
All right? And, you know, in the NBA, if you're going to – like you said, you're only talking about 12 guys. But in the NFL, you're talking about 53. You don't want to lose 53 guys because the chance of getting them back is really bad.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And if they think you're tanking it again, you know, they literally – every snap is a career ender for them.
Yeah.
And they know that. And so, you know, for them to say, I'm going to go out here and play in a game that's meaningless, that we're not even trying to win and risk my career, I'm just not going to do that now. You know, you can cut me, you can trade me, you can do whatever you want. But, you know, it's more important for me to keep my health and keep my career alive than it is for me to go out and play in this meaningless game.
Yeah, and I think the NBA, like I said, the draft in the NBA had lost its magic to me because I knew so few of who the players were because they were either high school kids or they were the next Dirk from Europe, which there seemed to be 24 of every year. And I don't know. I don't know the kid from Croatia from the kid in France. I don't know, and I don't care. And so the draft lottery helps bring some of that excitement back. Well, I don't know if you've noticed or not, the NFL doesn't need to add excitement to its draft. Its draft is already electric,
yeah,
and fans absolutely love it because we know who every one of the players are, and we're wondering if there's going to be trades. We're wondering, every year we have an Oakland Raiders who take Cleveland Farrell in the first round at number 4 and shock us. And the NFL draft is already a phenomenal soap opera, a phenomenal life story unfolding in front of us. You know, I guess you could always look to make something bigger, but but this isn't something we need. You don't need to reinvent the wheel here.
No. And I think the league in general and TV, of course, they do a pretty good job of, you know, you look at it and you say it's a 3-day event and it's really going to get boring, but they do such a great job of these, you know, stories about some guy growing up and having a hard time and now there's a chance he's going to be a number one draft choice and be a millionaire. And, you know, those kind of things that it keeps you going. It keeps you paying attention to all of that, I think, through the whole draft. So, I mean, it is really pretty well handled, pretty well run.
Well, we were talking about owners and ones that are hands-on and hands-off. Ray has called in and wants to chime in on that topic. Ray, go ahead.
I know it just won't make sense to Floyd being a football man, but I think the answer to his question is most of the owners have built a billion-dollar business in some other field that allows them to buy an NFL team. So it's just not in their nature to just turn it over, a billion-dollar investment that they've made, right or wrong. I get it from a football standpoint, but I think that would probably be more it, that they're driven, successful people. They made billions of dollars, and so to them, that's just another billion-dollar business that they can put their fingerprint on. And in conclusion, while I hate the Cowboys, Jerry Jones played Division I football.
He did.
So his record may speak for itself, but you can at least see where he would have the thought that he knows enough about football to make some decisions.
Well, he certainly thinks he does. Thank you for the call, Ray. There's no question that Jerry Jones thinks that he's got the knowledge. And I think Ray is largely right. And you touched on it, Floyd. I mean, you know, it's their toy. They've been successful in everything else they've done. Why wouldn't they be successful in this? But here's the other thing. How many times do most billionaires fail along the way?
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
They fail a lot along the way.
And I'm sure, you know, whatever business, you're in the business of building rockets to go to the moon. I'm sure they look at that and say, do you know how hard it is to be that rocket? And all you have to do is get some players on this football team. And
yeah.
They look at it, looks so simple. You know, it looks so easy. You mean I just got to get 22 guys to go, hey, no problem. Yeah. And it looks like, yeah, anybody can do that. So, yeah, all right, good. Go for it.
My favorite thing about the NFL draft now, maybe not my favorite thing, one of my favorite things, is hearing the stories about what's Jerry's son's name, Steven?
Yeah.
It's all the things Steven stops Jerry from doing on draft day.
Yeah.
That's the all the stories that come out. Yeah, Jerry was going to do this. Steven took the card out of his hand. Steven hung the phone up on him. He's saving him from himself.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones has to be. Look, if Jerry Jones wasn't saved from himself, he would have taken Johnny Manziel. All right? This is what we're talking about. Only the Cleveland Browns couldn't be saved from themselves from Johnny Manziel.
Amazing.
It's the same teams over and over, over and over again we are talking about.
And I think it goes back to, we talked about this a second ago, ownership.
Yeah.
You know, whoever that
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. All right, the NFL, NFL.com, has come out with a list of the 9 most complete teams. That's not the best teams, but that's complete teams. You know, top 53, top 22, you know, not a lot of holes. They've come up with their top 9. Are the Tennessee Titans in that top 9? We're going to look at that top 9 and have our reaction to it when we return. Corey Curtis sitting in for Jared Stillman with Floyd Reese.
You know the draft in Nashville was wildly successful, people going crazy. Titan fans excited because they feel like their draft was successful as well from checking the boxes. From that standpoint about hitting the players that you wanted through the evaluation and hitting needs, exactly where you want to be?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we thought we'd address some areas in free agency. We're able to add some players in the draft that will, you know, hopefully bolster the football team. Excited to get those guys in here in a couple weeks for rookie camp, make it through OTAs, the vet mini camp, and then get ready to rock and roll for training camp.
Titans GM John Robinson talking about his football team. Corey Curtis on ESPN 102.5. The game sitting in for Jared Stillman on Jared and the GM. Floyd Reese, when we went into this draft, we looked at this Titans team and said there was nothing there that the Titans absolutely just had to do. They didn't have any. They've gotten to the point where they don't have any glaring holes.
Mm-hmm.
How complete would you say this roster is?
I mean, I feel good about the roster. I questioned Delaney only because of the injury. You know, I'm just hoping that he comes back from the injury the way that everybody's hoping.
Well, they obviously don't question it because they didn't address the position.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope they're right. And the right guard. You know, that's it for me.
Yeah. Well, the NFL.com came out with a list of the top nine most complete rosters in the National Football League. Ryan Porth, the esteemed program director. That's his title here, right?
Yes.
Yes, that's it. He was nice enough to print it up and hand it to me. Have you see, you've got this list in front of you.
I have.
Yeah. I was going to quiz you, but I don't need to quiz you because you've got the answers in front of you.
I'd get this one right.
Should we start at the back end or should we start at the top end?
Wherever you want.
Let's start at number nine and make our way down.
All right.
Because I think that this is interesting. Number nine, a team you know a little about, the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
And I understand why they have them that low on this list.
Yeah.
I do. I mean,
and the truth is, I think if you took a couple of rosters over the last couple of years, even though New England has been contention or won the Super Bowl, and you looked at, for example, a starting 22, New England would have more holes than a majority of those teams.
Their coaching staff is just better at patching those.
Coach is better. And they do a fantastic job of getting the best out of each one of whatever those guys. Julius Edelman would have been cut by, you know, 15 teams in the NFL until somebody finally said, well, how about putting him at a slot? Let's see if he can do, you know, and then he's going to be, you know, he's the MVP of the Super Bowl. So I think they do a great job of that. And then they've got Tom. You know, I mean, and Tom, carries so much weight.
Yep, puts a lot of pressure on the defense, puts a lot of pressure on the other offense. So, yeah, so, I mean, look, I mean, they've got, you know, tight end to replace. They've lost their best pass rusher on the outside to the Lions with Trey Flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, they lose people every year. And so it's easy to poke holes. I like their first pick, N'Keal Harry, this year. Thought they did well there, so we'll see how that works out for them. Now, number eight is my Chicago Bears.
Yeah,
and I will say, as a longtime suffering Bears fan, and I say that they've had good runs. I shouldn't, you know, it hasn't been that bad. I will say this: last year was maybe the most remarkable transformation, not of a team but of a roster in one year than I've ever seen. I mean, they brought in so many pieces last year. It was absolutely unbelievable. And how many of those pieces they hit on as well.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the Khalil Mack trade made all the difference in the world from a personality standpoint.
It was like your Javon Kearse.
Exactly. And I think what happens is when you bring in a guy of that magnitude to your team and you start knocking the opponent's quarterback down, now all of a sudden the secondary you were a little bit concerned about, hey, they got a little bit better. And all of a sudden the outside linebacker that is a tenth too slow for you, so you're scared about him covering tight ends.
Well, I mean, Floyd may not have been great out of Georgia, but suddenly with Mack on the other
exactly.
side, oh, look, he's making
now,
plays.
Now all of a sudden the inside guys are making plays. Now all of a sudden the outside. Now all of a sudden we can run the ball a little bit more. We don't throw the ball every snap. So the quarterback's not getting killed. So the offensive line's looking a little bit better. I think it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, Trey Burton, Tariq Cohen.
All good.
Yeah, who's that little receiver they got from the Falcons who I thought the Titans should have signed, the speedster?
Gabriel?
Yeah. I thought the Titans, he could have been a take the top off the guy for them at a decent price. And the Bears picked him up to do just that. And, you know, the Bears are a player. I mean, the Bears are a contender in the NFC. You know, the question with them is the offensive line good enough, and is Trubisky ready to take the next step?
And I think the offensive line will be the big issue for them.
Yeah, that's the way it is for most teams.
Yeah.
If the offensive line's good, you're generally pretty good. This is a team I thought would be higher. Number seven, the New Orleans Saints. Thought they'd be higher.
And I would agree with you. I think that I think if you look across the board, they've done a lot of work with this team over the last two or three years. And I think they've got it honed down now. They've done a fantastic job of bringing in receivers, maybe guys that, you know, are not big name guys, maybe guys that aren't, you know, first round draft choices. And they, you know, because of Drew Brees, he ends up making a star out of all of them. Mm-hmm. But I think they've run the ball better. Kamara has been a tremendous addition to them.
Yeah, when
he really has. Yeah, I mean, just an unbelievable player, and he can do so much for them. And consequently, the defense is getting a little bit better. So, you know, I guess I could see him fitting in there.
Number six is the Dallas Cowboys, and I don't have a hard time with that selection at all. I know I like to make fun of Jerry Jones. He's simply not calling all the shots now. But when you look at the offensive line and the two linebackers, I give them all the credit in the world for taking Jalen Smith when he was hurt, because that guy is a beast.
Right.
I mean, he is fun to watch. They paid DeMarcus Lawrence to come back. They go get Amari Cooper. They get Ezekiel Elliott. Look, they brought in Randall Cobb and Jason Witten. To me, those are negatives. Those are guys who are done. They make this team worse, all right? So I don't like that. But the offensive line is good. They've got some skill pieces around it. And the bottom line is they hit on a fourth-round quarterback, and that's what saved them.
And this is, in my opinion, this is maybe the most one-dimensional team in the league. From this standpoint, as long as Ezekiel's there and they can run the ball,
they'll be able to throw it.
Everything else works.
Yeah.
Everything works. We talked about this. We were very similar to this 2 years ago. He's running the ball. Now the play action pass works.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, you know, Brian can get some passes.
Because when
now,
he was suspended,
they were
a mess.
Nothing. Yeah, they were nothing.
Yep.
The defense now, because they are rushing the passer, because they're ahead, because of eating up the clock, et cetera, now the pass rush comes in. The pass rush is better. I think the one area that they have really improved over the last year or two is the linebacker position.
No, they're really good.
Yeah, they're really good, and they keep bringing in good ones. Secondary needs a little bit of work, but I think as long as Zeke is ready, is able to go out there and play his normal game, this team will be effective.
When the Titans played the Cowboys, I couldn't wait to watch that game because I wanted to watch Smith and Vander Esch.
Yeah.
I just was excited for that. Number five, no surprise in there in the top five, the Kansas City Chiefs. But they've had a couple dings, you know, losing Kareem Hunt, and it doesn't look good for Tyreek Hill. And boy, I mean, do they have any draft picks left? Because they've traded just about everything to try to bolster that defense.
They've really had to work on the defense. They made some moves. They lost some legitimate players, and they're trying to replace them with legitimate players, and it's been expensive. You know, Frank Clark was an expense for them.
Yep.
I think Tyrann Mathieu, you know, as a safety, has been an expense for them. They lose Barry.
They paid a lot.
And they paid a lot for all these guys. The part that concerns me about this franchise, I think, is when you get all of those new pieces, mm-hmm. including the new coordinator, how well do they gel? You know, just how well do they factor in? Because, again, this team, without the running back and without the receiver, I mean, their personality on offense is going to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of that, it's going to be, you know, they're going to have to find a new personality, find a new way of doing things. And I'm not sure that they even know exactly how that's going to shake out.
And can Mahomes put up those numbers
again?
I mean,
without those guys.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Number four. Now, they got two teams coming up next year that took, you know, look like they're ready to take a leap. I just don't know if they're jumping on board a little too soon. Number four, the Indianapolis Colts. Look, the GM, Chris Ballard, had a phenomenal draft in 2018. I mean, it was one of the great drafts the Colts will ever have. But was that enough to completely repair a roster that was the worst in the division?
And I think, and I would agree with you with these next two teams, from this standpoint, we have to be careful that you don't mistake getting someone to fill a slot to getting a player,
yeah,
you know, just because you bring, hey, I brought in a right guard for him,
just because you give here. Devin Funchess $13 million a year,
exactly.
Doesn't mean he's a great player.
Exactly, doesn't make him what he used to be. And so I think with both of these teams, it's going to be a matter of, okay, you've got all the slots filled, you've got starters at every position. Now, how good are they?
Mm-hmm.
And how good are they going to be together? And I'm not sure we know all of that yet.
And can you handle an injury?
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Number three is the Cleveland Browns. They're the flavor of the month. Like I like to say, they got a lot of names, but if anybody comes with a match, this thing's going to freaking explode. because this is the most volatile looking thing I've ever seen.
And it's funny because, like you said, when you go through the names, some of the names associated with these teams, you know, they've got them written in blue, and you know, a couple of these teams have two or three names. Cleveland's got like 40 names here, yeah, of guys that have brought in that are new names. They're supposed to fill and supposed to be the real deal, and maybe they will be.
Yeah,
we don't know that.
And look,
but
if the quarterback builds on what he's doing, yeah, he's going to bring a lot of it together.
Maybe, and maybe all the, you know, the new receivers will come out there and they'll play as well. You know, Beckham and everybody will play as well as you hope they do. And if they can do all that and keep the locker room intact and all, then great, you're off and running. But there are some issues.
Well, and calling this the third most complete team in the NFL, yeah, when, yeah, it won 7-8 games last year, yeah, I still, you know, look, and their offensive line has got to get better. It's not all the way.
And this is the prime example of, okay, we've got players in every position. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a real good team. Maybe not there yet.
All right, number two is the L.A. Rams, and I don't have a hard time with that at all, with the way this team has been put together. And we're running out of time here, so I'm going to skip over them to number one. Offensive line. When they brought in Andrew Whitworth, that completely changed this franchise. And I know
absolutely,
the left tackle.
I agree 1,000%.
He was the lynch. He was the Khalil Mack, yep, of the L.A. Rams. He was the linchpin, yep, that brought it all together. And number one is the Los Angeles Chargers. And I'm going to tell you, Floyd, I like that pick because,
yeah,
I love that roster.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers, if you look at their 22 and you measure them up, I mean, their 22 is as good as anybody in the league. I can understand why they're picked number one. They need, you know, not everybody, especially where we are, not everybody, I think, appreciates how talented, how deep this roster is. But they've got not only bodies at every spot, but they've got legitimate players. So they're off and running. They're in good shape.
Where do the Titans sit in compared to these teams? We're going to talk about that next. ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow as Nashville SC takes on Charlotte at First Tennessee Park. Pregame begins at 6:45 with kickoff at 7, only on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. Corey Curtis sitting in for Jared Stillman. This is Jared and the GM. You're listening to Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John, you said you're a better team now than you were Thursday. Where do you think y'all have improved the most these last few days? Where have you seen yourselves get better?
You know, we've got some guys that I think can come in here and help us, you know, continue to win football games. You know, we took two offensive players and four defensive players, and they're going to create competition and hopefully go out there and make plays that allow us to have more points than the other team.
I always love that answer. What do you have to do to win the game? Score more points than the other team. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for dropping the knowledge.
Yeah.
Glad I asked. Corey Curtis with Floyd Reese on Jared and the GM. Jared Stillman is out. He's been sent to the penalty box. Probably back on Monday. Okay, hasn't been sent to the penalty box. Where is he?
He
you know.
A little R&R.
You know.
Oh, he didn't tell me.
Is he drinking a mint julep somewhere? That is the worst drink ever, by the way. Have you had one?
No.
It's do not.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
I've never had one either.
It's terrible. Somebody handed me one once, and I was like, oh, my God. I if you would have given me that to drink and not told me what it was, I would have said, I should put this in my car to run. Okay?
It's not good.
Yeah,
all that hard liquor stuff I can't. You know, you mean
you go pound some beers with me afterwards.
Give me a Guinness. I'll go with a Guinness, but that's about it.
All right. We've seen the top nine, according to NFL.com, most complete rosters. Are there any of those nine that you would throw out and say they're not in the top nine?
You know, I would probably have to question who was Cleveland and
Indy.
And Indy.
Yeah.
Would be my two question marks.
Yeah,
the rest
certainly
of
that
you
high.
You could argue for.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, like I said, the rest of them I don't have that hard time. Is there any way that you could finagle the Tennessee Titans in this top nine?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'll say this, and this is what's going to be unique about the Titans this year, as much as anything. If everybody can stay relatively healthy, on defense, we know we've got a chance to be pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
on offense, we'll be similar to some of these teams in that for the first time, we're going to have whoever it is at one outside receiver is going to be Corey Davis, who is a legitimate NFL prospect. The other one is either going to be Brown or the Tampa Bay kid.
Adam Humphries,
who will be a legitimate NFL talent. And the slot is going to be the one that's not outside.
Yep.
So that's going to be your starting group. Those are all legitimate receivers.
First time Mariota's ever had them.
We've got a tight end. You know, if Conklin's okay at the right tackle, you've got tackles, you've got an outstanding left guard, and now you've got a center. You've got to take care of the right guard position. I think on offense, you really, if all these guys were to spring together, were to all of a sudden mature together, you got a chance to be pretty decent now.
I mean, really, yeah. When you know, I'm talking about the starting 22, right guard, and one of the outside linebackers. Those are the only two real holes. You say, who's going to start there?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a pretty good idea that Pomfield will start until Nate Davis is ready at right guard.
Right.
That's what you think will happen.
Probably.
And, you know, I think I worry too much about the other outside linebacker outside of Harold Landry because they're so multiple. They're so multiple, and they line up with four down linemen, 30% of the time anyway.
Yeah.
And you can move Rashawn Evans out there. Sharif Finch is going to play out there. And you know, Sharif Finch, you know, look, by what the Titans didn't do in the draft, tells me they believe a lot in Sharif Finch.
They
think they got a good one. I mean, he certainly looks the part. So.
And if you look at that group of outside linebackers, excluding Evans, I mean they're good looking guys now.
Yeah, I mean they look the part.
Yeah, they all look like outside linebackers. You say, okay, they all ought to be rushers. Then you throw in Evans, whether you want to put him outside or blitz him, and you blitz Logan and you blitz Brown. All of a sudden, you know, you've got a pretty good package going there. But I think on offense, you've also got a chance. If all of these things come to fruition, I mean, you've got a chance to be pretty salty. The right guard position is the one where you're kind of, you know, we're hoping that guy, we can put a name there, but is that the real deal? We don't know yet.
Now, I got two further questions on these rankings. So these are 1-9. Would you put the Titans in 10-15, 10-20, or do I need 10-32 to get the Titans? Because by what we're saying, they're pretty complete. They may not have a lot of stars, but they're pretty complete. They're pretty set with quality starters.
I would probably put them in the maybe 10-15.
Yeah,
in that area, you know, middle of the pack. Kind of.
I think if they stay healthy.
Yeah, and that's going to be the key issue. If they can stay healthy.
So where does that put them in the AFC South as we rank the top four rosters and how complete they are in the AFC South?
Yeah, I think, judging from this, of course, they think Indy is really, really complete. I'm not sure they're that complete. But
they got an offensive line and they got a quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to be a little bit more complete than we are. I think Jacksonville with a quarterback is going to be a little bit more complete.
Are you sold? That Foles
on the quarterback? No, I'm really
system.
Not. But he will be better than you know. And that's the if they go out and they say, okay, this is Foles, and now we're going to be able to throw the ball 45 times a game and win, then they'll win six games again.
Yeah.
If they say, okay, this is Foles, when we need him to throw, he's going to throw better than what we've had. Let's don't forget the running back Fournette. Let's don't forget our defense and play that way. Mm-hmm. Then they've got a chance to be pretty salty.
So you have Indy 1?
Yeah, I think I'd have to do Indy 1.
And who would be 2?
And I'd probably put Jacksonville 2.
Would you really? You put Jacksonville?
Only because they're so complete every place else.
Yeah, we talk about teams being a mess. I mean, Jalen Ramsey.
Now their locker room.
Leonard Fournette.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this thing's, you know, that's another team. You don't want to take a match in there.
Yeah.
Because that thing could explode.
I would agree 1,000%. So that may not even get off the ground because of that.
So who's the worst roster in the division then, Titans or the Texans?
You know, I mean, I'm going to say that the Texans are right now.
I would agree.
Because the offensive line.
The offensive line, they've lost DBs. Yeah. They've got the big three.
Yeah.
They got Watson, they got Hopkins, and they got J.J. Watt.
Yep.
And that kind of – and if anybody kicks out one of those legs, they're in big yeah. trouble.
And I worry about that. I mean, that offensive line is – I mean, even they drafted a couple of tackles. They're going to be rookie tackles.
You know, from what, Alabama league. State?
Yeah. Who's, you know.
It's going to take some work.
We got a guard from Charleston. Charleston is a, say, mega power yeah. compared.
Charleston Southern or College of Charleston? Yeah, I used to work in South Carolina. Yeah. All right. Well, we got 1 hour to go. And in the final hour, when we return, we're going to prioritize the Titans' free agent and contract decisions for 2020. There are huge decisions to be made. We kind of touched on this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
J-Rob has got to make the pieces kind of come together, and that may be a little bit more difficult than you think. You are listening to Jared and the GM live from the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.